Lecture topic: Concern for One's Islah and Reformation.
One of the greatest qualities a mu'min has in him is always in search of looking for his faults. Always in search of looking for his faults. It's very easy to look at faults others, but more important is to look at your own faults. If you begin to look at your own faults, there's part of iman. A part of iman is one has to always look at his own faults. This quality we don't have in us. And it's obvious that the person who does not have that quality in him, then call him a sick person. A sick person. Because not prepared to listen to him, look at his faults at all. And it's very important to make an effort to always keep your heart free from all flaws and defects. Keep your heart free from all flaws and defects. Now it's obvious if you have the concern, then you begin looking into your heart and see where are the defects that I have in you, the flaws that I have. The clothing that you have, you wear. The slightest mark on that clothing, you can't see it. You want to make sure you keep it. Your car also notices this, but there's got a small mark there, so you're concerned about that mark. That you want to keep your car as clean as possible. But these are outward things, you know. It's not really got any contact with you at all. But you notice that man pays so much attention to those things. Even a mark on a body too. You make sure that that mark will not be there. The big mark is the flaws in your heart. The defects in your heart, that is what you're supposed to clear to make it pure. Because if you don't keep it clear and pure, then that heart, Allah cannot come into it. Because the heart is only for one person, that Allah. This heart is for Allah. No one else. And Allah Ta'ala only enters into that heart which is pure. So those flaws, what are the flaws? What are the effects? Man has to come to a point now to understand, you came, mashallah, so what a big thing you came. You know what a big thing that you're leaving everything to come. Allah is looking at that. The witnessing that you came here, definitely to put yourself right. So what? The flaw that you see in you, that pride that you have in you, the greed that you have in you, greed for the love, for the world. Love of the world in your heart. That animosity, that jealousy, that anger that you have in you, that all that in you, those are all flaws. Did we work toward looking at it that where there are flaws? Do I have those things or not? That's why it said that a mu'min, a mirror to another mirror, to another mu'min. That mu'min is a mirror to another mu'min, that he sees your fault, you see his fault. That's a concern. If man 24 hours look at his own faults, he become embodied. Because he wants to try to put himself right. Be concerned of putting others right. First put yourself right. Become of that kind. You know Imam Ghazan in the saying, that first of all, it's obvious you cannot see all your faults, but someone else can see. You cannot see all your faults, but someone else can see your faults. Now those faults is something you have to ask, you have to get someone to see. Now you have to, in these times, you have to have a friend who can advise you on your faults. But Imam Ghazali says, in this day you cannot get a friend also. He's mentioning that time. They cannot get a friend today. Because either he'll be a flattering person, he'll flatter you, he won't tell you a true story, or he's a jealous person. Because if you ask a friend, you know, I'm going through this condition, I'm going that condition, and if the condition is very good, he may get jealous. So he said, what's the best thing to ask your enemy? Ask your enemy. Because your enemy is one person, you know, not looking good of you. You'll always take out of your faults. And at least when he gives you a fault, accept the fault with a smile. One Buddha was walking past, one person told him, "What do you do? You've got so much pride in you. You've got so much pride in you." He did not have pride in me. But when that person said, "You got pride in you," what did he say? He smiled and said, "No doubt you recognize me." You recognize me? Yes. Yet this is that man you don't have that in you. In other words, when a person takes out your fault, take it with a smile. Take it. Do not prepare to take the smile. The moment that person tells you, "You got this fault in you," begin to answer it, "Get and get." Try to prove that you're wrong. And the wife is not a very good partner too. Not all the time. But when she tells you that, then accept it also. Accept the smile. She'll tell you, "No, you got this thing. Why you spoke like that?" You rather ponder upon what she says instead of backtracking. Anyone tells you something, then you spoke like that now. Why did you speak like that? Instead of giving an answer, which is not a good thing to do, you have to ponder the person told me that this is right or wrong. Now for example, the wife tells you, "Why that pride in you? Why you spoke to me like that?" Now ask yourself, is she right or wrong? Instead of fighting with her and creating a problem with her, she can be a guide you to become a better person. Or your father, your son, your own brother, your son can tell you too. That you, "Dad, you did this thing here. You're not supposed to do like that. But now you have to answer it because you know my son, how can you tell me?" Or a small person tells you something. Then you, instead of accepting your fault, what do you do? You begin to bypass him or take off again. That's not in Islam. If you want to really reform, if anyone takes out your fault, you begin to ponder upon a made mistake. You spoke to me loudly. Why you spoke? You are crying there. What? In other words, you should like this. So you, if you have that quality in you, then you must know that that is a quality which you want, which you begin to ponder upon and make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, you begin to put the mistake right. But if you do not make a mistake, you won't make anything right. So this is a very important thing. Do not look at the jahil when you need and then you not accept it. Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, one person was riding a bicycle very, very fast. So he told him, "Son, why riding like that? You fall." He said, "If I fall, no problem. If you make a mistake, the whole island will fall." So he did not take it as a small thing, he took a very big thing. He took a lesson from it. So if you want to take a lesson and the ponder of your life, and someone tells you, "You made this mistake," instead of fighting with that person, no matter who that person may be, whether it's your enemy, whether it's your friend, whether your wife. And the wife is, I always say that she's the best friend. Because she's the one that will take out your faults. And she does always do it because she does not want to become disgraced outside. But instead of accepting her, what you do? You ride her. You run her down completely. So this is the one thing very important, Mazan says. That one has to always look at his faults with a smile. Possible that, you know, and if enemy takes out, then you know that is one thing to understand. One thing to understand. Isa alayhi salam, when the people oppressed me, how you got these wonders of in your life? Got wonders, all the wonders in your life. Is I learned to look at the fault of people. I saw that person, he was a very big rich person, and how he wasted his money, and wasted all his money, he lost his money. I said, that is how his life was, that I will not make the same mistake. I will not make the same mistake. Likewise, I saw some people, when they were drinking, I'm giving that example. And when they were a rich person, look at them dream. So everything that you come to realize, you make a mistake, you see, that person now will become, you know, disparalyzed. If you look into his life, making you, you know, hitting people, causing harm to people, you know, Allah Ta'ala put in that. So everything that you will look at and make a lesson from the person. A rich person was very rich, all of a sudden he lost everything. Now he begin to ponder, look, what was the reason for him to become a pauper now? Why he did, what he lost? I think because of this thing here that he may misuse the money, he did not use the correct way. Do you know something, one of the biggest things today is lights, not light, like you say, load shedding. Lights, one sahabi. He went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Ya Muhammad, beta, please I want something." Nabi Karim did not like anyone to beg. I did give something to do, they must do. However, he gave him one letter and told him to go to a certain sahabi and give him that letter. It's obvious whose letter is coming from. When he went there to give the letter, he's telling his wife, the light is too big, make it short. You understand what I'm saying? The light is too big. He thought to himself, he's talking letter, what is giving? Listen to me very carefully, because we are today extravagant in lights. We leave the light on and on, thinking one Allah, one place in us. You use what you're supposed to use. No matter how rich you are, you're supposed to use how much you're supposed to use. Not most, not more than that. People don't understand that. It does not mean you've got a big mansion, you keep the lights on everywhere, because you think you're someone. You have to use it the correct way. You have to correct, and you teach at home too. So we put the lights, you know. Knocked at the door, he says, I want to go there. You see, he came from the week, he gave a letter. Listen there. You know what he said? Tomorrow my shipment is coming, all is given to you. You and I can't do that too. No, we can't. But he said, the shipment that's coming tomorrow is all given to you. He got surprised. He said, what do you mean? Yes, that's going to be good. But when I came home, I saw your house, you said that put the light low, what is it? He said, that is extravagant. Allah Ta'ala gave me that much, I can use that much. Why am I going to use more than that? Now we do not understand. We do not understand, we haven't got that. I said the I know. Every moment you must learn to, you must not become a miser. Miser is not something that one is miser and one is being extravagant. Now you can know that room, but no one is sitting at home. What are you supposed to do? The light will be off. Not that it will be on. It's because you've got a lot of money. Money is today, tomorrow Allah can take it away to Allah will protect us. People don't understand this thing. Everything that you do. So that is also an advice. You tell someone, you have to live your life for so much about it. Because he's not prepared to listen. Faults are very lot of what we have in us. Until unless we do not put our faults right. So Isa Alaykum said this much. That I learned from others the harm that caused to them that I must not make the same mistake. Anyone will hear to that person like this, he has bad qualities in him. We're not talking anyone with bad qualities. Now you can know the outcome of it, this is what happened. So you will not make the same mistake. There's so many people that lost their businesses because they were so extravagant to that point that they lost everything. Now they became that position. Allah must save us from that. So do not become, because Allah gave you something to extravagant, to misuse it. Do not misuse anything. So that's advice given to everyone. So to trigger a false is that Isa Alaihissalam said that. And he says this much, that always remember that do not take yourself as highest. Do not even have the slightest bit of a pious person. One is a thought just coming, you know, you're not happy with the thought. But do not ever take yourself as a pious. Because the moment you take yourself as pious, that person is not only pious, but what is going to be? He's a foolish person. A foolish person. A person who takes himself in person as pious is like a foolish person. But a person who thinks that a sinner, remember one thing, someone tells you a sinner, yes, you are a sinner. Who is not a sinner? We all are full of sins. It's only through Allah, for Allah forgiving us and not allowing us to commit the sin again. So we must be happy with Allah, Allah has taken Allah. It must not be you go back to those sins. We are very fortunate that sins that we are committing, Allah Ta'ala forgave us, we are not going back in. And who is stopping us from committing that sin? Allah Ta'ala. So we must be careful that we really not to say those kind of things. So a person who says that he is a sinner, he is the person who is most intelligent. Every time. You know, that's why when you begin to pray to great people, you know, Nabi Kareem, the greatest quality he had in him is what up here. To be humble. Humility. Humility means a person always thinks, I am nothing. When you got the power of humility, you would mean, I am nothing. No matter all you got in the world, I got nothing. That person who feels my namaz is something, that namaz is nothing. But that person who says, I hate namaz, I don't know how to do namaz, it's only to the grace of Allah, Allah will send namaz. He'll get something. Because he thinks namaz will be nothing too. Because how Allah Ta'ala wants your namaz to be your ibadah? It cannot be how he wants it to be. It cannot be how he wants it to be. No one can say, after you leave your namaz too, you look at your fault of your namaz, it's only through his grace Allah is accepting the namaz. Everything that you look at it, there's no such thing as within yourself. That person is a foolish person who thinks himself this much, that I got it. So the foundation to go against one's nafs is very important. The mood to go against nafs is very important, because everything that is happening to you is because of the nafs. Everything. For example, I tell you, you get angry, it's because of the nafs. Anything you do, the nafs is the biggest enemy, isn't it? And once that love of the nafs goes very strong in one's heart, it becomes very difficult to come about that. The love of the nafs must not come in you. That anything that you do, it must not be for your nafs. Today I woke up for Fajr namaz, my nafs told me to wake up, I woke up. Tomorrow the nafs not telling not to wake up, I'm not waking up. You're not waking up for the sake of Allah, you're waking up because of your nafs. Like that, you have every charity you do, your nafs come today, I must give it. Tomorrow the don't say, don't not, not to give you that, you follow what you follow. Do not become slave of your nafs. Because once you become strong in you, then everything your nafs wants, you give it in. And the most dangerous thing is your whatever your nafs asks you, do not bring it. My husband one day told us, a poor man, he got no money, he is a beggar. Now his nafs telling me, you know what, only eat sweet meat, only eat sweet meat. Not because he's a pious person, he's now telling his nafs, you're not my Allah, so I'm not going to follow you. You're not my Allah. He's carrying on saying that because nafs is strong, you know. Why don't you? Get steal money to buy sweet meat. Get something, you steal the sweet meat. Nafs is so, you'll be surprised. Steal because he's telling you, not my Allah. I won't follow you. So some people who listen to him say, they could pagal aadmi. They ask me, what you do? What are you talking like that for? He said, yeah. One intelligent person is asking me. He said, my nafs is telling me, sweet meat, I cannot. I got no money. So I'm telling my nafs, you're not my Allah. I won't follow you. I won't follow you. So that's why I'm telling you that don't look. We are not. Likewise, one person, he wants to eat certain things for nothing. So he went to the garden. You know, they put you there, horses with the animals go around to throw water out and all. He told that person, give me, I'll take that place. So the whole day he went. He was not going to eat something. He said, don't worry, I'll make you eat. But not like that, not clean. You must go through hard tent. So he made him sit down and then he said, going back to him. End of the day, he got paid, he said, nothing, please, I don't want that kind of money. So you put up nothing into hardship, then you get to somebody else. Not just like that. That who telling us, Hazri is telling us. Don't put up nuts that he must be control you. You must control your nuts. The control of the nuts is very important. You do not know the control of nuts is so important that at all times you have to be very careful that you don't lose your control, because that is the, you know, the main thing. You have control of one's heart, and nuts is ibadah. You have control of that. For example, I'm telling you, you've got no money in your pocket. Now you've got a, you know, a credit card there. Credit card. And that you own. You buy the pass. You're not red now. Not green. You go there. You know, buy the thing. You don't need the thing. But why? My nafs telling you, make me buy the thing. You bought the thing. What have you done? What have you done? That is the control. This is what it means. That when you eat something, you finish it. Day after, you eat more than that. But the nafs tell you not to do it, you still do it. The nafs asking. So that inclination is there. And remember one thing, the most important thing is the islah of your nafs. Islah of your nafs. And the thing that's very important is anger. Anger. Greed. Greed. Pride. These are the few things that are very important in one's life that you must try to put it right. That you must not become, that you must fight to put that right, that nafs. The nafs will tell you you have to fight with that person. No, I'm not going to fight. Your nafs will tell you do not talk to your wife. Your nafs tell you that, I'm not. Your nafs will tell you do not talk to your father and mother. I'm not going to follow you. My nafs will tell you that you swear that person, I'm not. My nafs will tell you anger. This is what nafs will teach you, that do not become a slave of the nafs. The nafs will follow you, not the demon follow nafs. I don't want to talk to that person because it spoke very badly to me. What's the meaning of that? That means your nafs have overtaken you in every way. My nafs won't be forgive. I won't forgive you anymore. No, that's not nafs telling me. I forgive. Every sunnah of Nabi Karim Salman in our lives, he has forgiven people. You know something what were under him underwent persecution and harms. But yet he forgave everyone. We have to have that quality. That one Muslim, you know, that person came to kill him in a knife. When he came near him, Allah Ta'ala put his heart, this person will harm you. He told that person quietly, if you're going to harm me, come and harm me. I know why you came. He began to shiver. And he said, yeah, but you can take a knife and kill me. He said, you didn't want to harm me. How long was harm you? When you did not harm me, what was harm? In other words, these are the qualities that are having us. They're not, must not ever take. But we are always, you know, it's sad that we are only, you know, you call it slave of our nafs. Whatever nafs tells us to do, we do. If they're not to do, we not do. If you go there to do anything, any law for that, we want to go for Umrah, nafs saying that it's not supposed to go. It's not supposed to go. It is not till act. If you do not go, nothing wrong, you won't lose anything. But no, my nafs say must go, that's why. My nafs. You understand? Many times, you know, the money could be used for many other good purposes. But you leave it out and you go for your purpose, for my nafs say. Do not become a slave of your nafs. Become the slave that not for your slave, not you. And you must remember one thing, the foundation of Islam is against nafs. Against nafs, that's the foundation. Once Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Sahabas, you came from jihad, the Sal Azhar, a small jihad. You know, outside when jihad war, he said, it's a small jihad. You have come to a very big jihad now. Listen to this very carefully. You have come to a very big jihad. Just as they went out from jihad, they fought and came back. He told them that now you are in a very, very big jihad. Very big jihad. Ya Rasulullah, big jihad. What it means by that? That to go against the nafs. Don't let your nafs get near you. Listen to this very carefully. Don't let your nafs get near you at the time of calamity. At the time of calamity. At the time of hardship and trials. How nice he said it. Do not let your nafs come near you. Keep your nafs, distance yourself from the nafs. This nafs is a thing. Keep yourself distant away from your nafs. This nafs will come to bring you more. You go through any trials, no matter what trials, you're going through some difficulties in your business. And you're going through hardship. It's what happened, your business is going through a hard time. And now you know something that stop the shaitan and nafs will say, never mind, let's use the wrong route to put ourselves right. Now you follow your nafs and you do the wrong thing. And you forget when they die. Likewise, you know, you are tested in any way, someone comes to you and talks in a very harsh manner, swears you, bulk everything, but not tell you, you take a reward. Take him to task. He is going to take you. That is what you call. At the time of trials, at the time of hardship, at the time of difficulties, at the time of all these things, difficulties, a trial, the doctor says, you know what I mean, there's no way you can be surprised. Only thing they can do is, you must go do this, which is becoming haram. And when you go do that haram, the nafs will tell you to do it, you go do this. In other words, the trials and tribulations at that time, and difficulties and tests you're going through, there's all kinds of tests you get, all kinds. You can take all the examples you can have, all the examples. That's how the person is divorcing wife too. The wife says something very bad, nothing, give a divorce. Khalas, you give a divorce and nothing, you regret all your life. So, this is what I'm trying to say to you, is that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says that at the time of difficulties and hardship and trials, at that time and the time of distress, keep your nafs distance. Distance yourself from nafs. It's very easy to say, very easy to say. Keep your nafs at distance. Eating food also. You ate food to a certain amount. You ate nicely, one nice custard came out. There's no place in your stomach, your eyes, they got place in your eye running. And then you start eating the meat. That is called now allowing your nafs all day. Allowing your nafs. In every way it must be the distance your nafs all the time. My nafs telling me, I mustn't talk to that, that Muslim. Your nafs is telling me, distance me, and then you talk. Let me talk. And then Nabi can remember to say this much. That he is your enemy. Your nafs is your enemy. You think your nafs is your friend. Your nafs is your enemy at the time, in the day, and will, on the day of Qiyamah, he will curse you. On the day of Qiyamah, your nafs will curse you. And what does you know that, that extent that every part of your body will curse each other. Every part of your body will curse. But just imagine, the same nafs you try to keep happy, and to go with the God of Allah Ta'ala, this outcome, what's the meaning of that? Oman. وَنَهَا النَّفْرَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَوَىٰ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْرَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ Allah Ta'ala says, if you have to come and repeat Allah Ta'ala on the day of prayer, وَنَهَا النَّفْرَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ A woman invites you to commit a wrong. At that time you become, وَنَهَا النَّفْرَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ I go against my nafs. I won't do it again. Allah will jannah, only in jannah. Your business dealings, you know, you've been through hardship and someone can lead you to the wrong route. وَنَهَا النَّفْرَ Go against your nafs. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ I do not talk as Muslim because he caused harm to me. When nafs is against, one hand nafs. Against your nafs is most important. Be against your nafs at all times. Do not make us, not saying, now let me now, man, let me delay my namaz. You know, I'll read afterwards. No, everything. So your nafs is something, is your biggest enemy. Your biggest enemy on a day of Qiyamah, you'll come to know what it is. So Allah Ta'ala must protect us. And keep us away from the tricks of shaitan and tricks of our nafs. Wa akhu dhamm, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Akhiri, wa salatu. Allahumma inna la tuzhika wa shaitu wa khusni. Rabbana hablana min aswatina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun wa ja'alna lil muttaqina. Allahumma nas'aluka ridhaaka wal jannah wa na'udhu bika min sakhatik. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala akhiri sayyidina. Bi rahmatika.